IFPRI Policy Seminar, Beyond Gender Myths, Closing the Knowledge Gap in Agriculture and Food Security, held on November 22, 2013, in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Ruth Meinzendick, from IFPRI.
Thank you. In the interests of time for discussion, I will not repeat all of the thanks, but I do want to say what a pleasure it has been to work with Terry and the whole team on this sofa of really getting the experience of getting this on higher on the agenda. I'm going to turn to one of the types of assets that often is a little less studied. There's perhaps even less data about social capital. And yet, we find that social capital is seen as an entry point for so many development programs in agriculture and in other sectors. I'm going to focus on two major types of social capital, both group membership, and here we would include both formal groups and informal groups. So, you know, agricultural producer groups or cooperatives, microfinance groups, which may be formal or just rotating credit societies, funeral societies, civic and religious groups, and advocacy groups like the Self-Employed Women's Association in India. Then we also look at social networks that may be kinship-based, based on friendship, or just other kinds of contacts. The social capital is really important because so many types of services in agriculture are either disseminated through groups or through networks. And here I'm thinking about both extension and how you get information about technologies, credit, seed systems rely on both of these. And just many other kinds of services. Also, control over resources like water and forests. In many decentralization programs, these are being transferred to user groups. And so if you're not in that user group, you don't have a say over that resource. Social capital is a really fundamental for providing resilience, the mutual help, and the kinds of assistance that you can get. Social capital also has some less tangible but no less important aspects. Your status in the household and in the community depends on your networks and your ties. And finally, empowerment, and in that can take on so many different dimensions. Okay, then is there a gender gap in social capital? Here's some brand new data that was collected as part of the Women's Empowerment in Agriculture Index on group membership. This is both formal and informal groups in seven countries. And when I first saw this, I said, wow, there's a significant difference in five of those countries. Except look at the direction of the difference. In Nepal, Tajikistan, and Malawi, men have significantly higher group membership than women. But in Kenya and Zambia, women have significantly higher group membership. That is, the proportion of women who are a member of at least one group is higher than the proportion of men who are a member of one group. Okay, so like Agnes said, the picture is mixed, and you have to look at more specifics. So, what about this gender gap? In formal organizations, and here I'm consolidating a lot of studies that show slightly different things, but broadly you can say that men are more likely to be involved in farmer groups and agricultural producer organizations and market-oriented groups. Women are more likely to be involved in civic and religious organizations. And men are more likely to be in leadership, sometimes even in women's organizations. Then if we turn to social networks, we find that there's a difference in the quantity versus quality of the ties. Again, there's variability in this, but we often find that women have more bonding social capital, that is, ties to people like themselves. Men have more bridging and linking social capital, ties to people who are unlike them, and especially to people of influence and authority. So that also has important implications. What are the barriers to women to equitable participation? Some of them are structural. You get groups that are defined that they can be one member per household, and that's usually going to be the man. There are time constraints, and often women are more time constrained than men, especially we find that varies by age. If you've got small children, you all know you're more time constrained than if you've got older children. Mobility constraints, either the social acceptability of mobility for women or lack of transport. Men are more likely to have bicycles or transportation. Material constraints, if it takes a membership fee, do you have control over money? There's also confidence is often, lack of self-confidence is a major reason that women report not being members of groups. And then there are gender norms, that the public space is often defined as a male space, or gender norms of female seclusion. And whether speaking in public is valued or not is very gendered. Often, for men, being able to speak in public is valued, and for women, it's shameful. Sorry, I'm probably shaming. So, the implications of this. Social capital is often held up as the capital that creates capital, or the thing you can give people who have nothing else. Okay, it's got potential, but it's not a panacea, because it's often not actually a substitute for other assets, but a complement to other assets. And the very poor and marginalized are excluded, and you have to worry about that. There can be negative sides of this. Also, if you are building agricultural programs or health programs or whatever that are based service delivery through groups or networks, you have to ask whose groups or networks. So if you're delivering agricultural extension only through farmer cooperatives, you may be missing the women. But if you were to go to the religious societies to talk to them about new seeds, you might actually reach more women. And worrying about whether male groups, female groups, or mixed groups work is very context specific. There's a lot of potential to doing these kinds of social capital development, but they're not costless. And even if you make the investment, you have to ask, are these organizations meeting the needs of men or women? And then finally, addressing all those barriers to participation that are unequal. However, there is a lot of potential, and I think Dee's talk will also actually show some of the issues as we take this into value chains also. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.